Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereunto I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Hold. So for what cause? Remember, that we just left off in chapter 2, and I'm feeling much better tonight. He said, you are no more strange. He's talking about the Gentiles, how, at one point they were, in the Old Testament, there was a separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. And there was lots of scriptures about, how, and examples, too, of how God accepted righteous men of any nation. But still, the terms on which they were accepted were, were separate but equal, so to speak. Meaning that God, he was just towards... He wasn't respecter of any man's person. A wicked Israelite was as deplorable to him as a wicked Gentile. And a righteous Gentile was as valuable to him as a righteous Israelite. If you look even in the time of Christ, before this mystery was revealed that Paul's talking about, and I'm going to be specific about the mystery in just a moment. Though Paul has already explained it himself. You see that Christ, he would approach the Gentiles, and he would give them that standard, we're separate from you, we're Jews. The one woman who was of the parts of Sidon and Tyre, and he said to her, it is not fit to give the children's meat to dogs, which is very demeaning. But then when she showed faith, he praised her. So we see that it's not, it was more of a test than it was, him just being arbitrarily unkind to someone. He was just stating the facts as they were. Those outside the commonwealth of Israel, they were not chosen of God. By and large. Though as, there are plenty of examples in the Old Testament, Paul cites them from time to time. Especially in the prophets. I think of Isaiah, an easy example is the one in Isaiah 9. It just immediately leaps to my mind. I don't want to grasp for examples. But, he talks about, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They which dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. In beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations is what that's talking about. Thinking also later, and that may not be such a great example there because, Galilee was of the Gentiles, but it was also where the Jews lived there, especially in the time of Christ. But you think of Isaiah 49:6. I just opened it up to it accidentally here. And he said, Isaiah 49:6, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So the idea that the Gentiles could be saved was not new. What was new is that they would be adopted in and become one with the Jews who also were called of God. Obviously not all the Jews, But as Paul said, the election of the Jews have obtained the promises of God, those who were elect among them. And so also the elect among the Gentiles are being joined in with the elect among the Jews and become one body. And he's saying, I, Paul, the prisoner for you Gentiles. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner. And then he says, I wonder if the verb am the prisoner for you Gentiles, because he doesn't give you the verb. He goes on to a proposition. If you have heard how that whereby it might even go down to verse 10, which I didn't even read, which I did not even read. I think it does. He's sort of detailing this cause. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner. Paul uses incredibly long run-on sentences. I find myself doing this when I write. Not that I'm, well, whatever. But I use, a lot of the biblical writers did. I think it was part of the style of the time. But they use these long run-on sentences that just go on and on and on. My English teacher would have had a fit, I think, if I tried to write. But you know what? When you're explaining very detailed thoughts, where there's really not necessarily the end, a break in the sentence. Maybe you make a really long, this is an English grammar. This was written in ancient Greek, or possibly, this was almost definitely written in ancient Greek. Why would he write an epistle to the Gentiles in Aramaic or anything like that? But, some of the New Testament may have been. I don't know. All the manuscripts that I've ever heard of are in Greek. Though I do remember someone offering an Aramaic New Testament, but they went out of business. What was it? ExegesisBibles.org. Yes, they're no longer around. Anyways. He speaks of himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ. It's interesting. Because he talks about in other places of, you were the servants of sin. You were slaves to sin. Sin shall not have dominion. These words of control and power. Dominion. Servant. Slave. the way that the sin nature rules over people. It causes you to do things against your will even. And so it is with Christ. He causes you to do things against your will. And somebody says, God would never make you do. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. As it is said of Pharaoh, he even hardened Pharaoh's heart. And it even says,